Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, we're getting book smart with our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook. We'll take a look at some of the betting trends the book is seeing this weekend to help you with all of your Super Wild Card weekend bets. We'll also preview all six games of that Super Wild Card weekend and give you our best bets, both picks and player props for each of those games. And you know it, you've got some Mox Locks coming your way. But first, let's welcome in our very special guest, Max Meyer, editorial content writer for Caesars Sportsbook. Max, how we doing?
I'm good and really excited for these upcoming games. I just hope they're more competitive than this past Monday.
Yeah, I hope so too. Except for the Niners and Seahawks game. That one doesn't have to be all that competitive for me. But let's get in and let's get some book smart. First up, quick trends going into this weekend. Some big picture trends here. Underdogs covered this season, making it the fifth straight year that they've had a winning record. Unders also cashing this year. They went 149, 119, and 3. The best against the spread records this season. Four teams that are in the playoffs. Giants 13-4. Bengals 12-4. Worst against the spread. Well, that's Tom Brady and the Buccaneers 4-12-1. They play the Cowboys on Monday night. Max, let's go ahead and start with the Jags at the Chargers. It's the first time that both Herbert and Lawrence will make their playoff debuts, both the youngest ever for both of their clubs to get into a playoff. Lawrence, of course, turned the Jags losing season around by winning the AFC South in week 18 against the Titans. Herbert and the Chargers, they were plagued with injuries all season long. However, they managed to squeak into the playoffs, even with all those injuries, and they seem to be getting healthy at the right time. What trends are the books seeing with this game?
Yeah, so we opened Chargers 2.5. It went all the way down to pick, and now it's back up to Chargers 2.5. So like the line movement would suggest, it's really been a tug of war between, you know, respected money on both of these teams. So the Chargers have gotten majority of the spread action, about 64% of the tickets, 65% of the handle. Jaguars, on the other hand, though, they've gotten about 57% of the tickets for money line, 62% of the handle. So early on, it was a lot of sharper Jaguars money line handle that was driving this line down. But then other respected bettors came in when the Chargers were at pick and when money line was at minus 110. And then they drove the price back up. And so whenever you have a line that's this tight, especially between two teams with such talented quarterbacks, but also both making their playoff debuts, you're going to have a lot of differing opinions. And that's exactly what's happened in the market so far for this game.
I'm so mad that I didn't grab it at Pick'em because I love the Chargers actually in this spot. I still like them minus the 2 or the 2.5, depending on where it ends up. I'm going to take it at that. But man, when it was at Pick'em, I should have taken it with all of the sharp bettors that you said. Now let's look at the 49ers and the Seahawks. Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, has become more than relevant. The kid already has a jersey in Canton. So he'll be making his first playoff debut against a bitter NFC West rival in the Seahawks. Where are bettors placing their money with this one? It's a large spread, 10.
Yeah, so it's been bouncing around between 10 and 9.5 all week. Niners have gotten about 72% of the tickets, only 52% of the money. We have gotten some bigger bets on the Seahawks as well. Anytime you have a divisional battle again, I mean, these teams have already played each other twice. They're familiar with one another. Respected bettors are going to take the points, especially when the spread is that high. And so not too surprising to see some Seahawks action, especially at that number. One lopsided bet has actually been the under for this game, which is now at 42.5, down from 43. About 91% of the handle has come in. And that under has gotten nearly twice as much money as any other total bet for Super Wildcard Weekend.
Well, one, I think that makes sense when you think about the weather that's in California right now with the bomb cyclone. It's, I think, a 90% chance of rain during the game. Obviously, this is a very, very defensive-minded team with the 49ers. I mean, they have allowed a league-leading low for points per game in the first half. And, of course, they had those four games with second-half shutouts. The Seattle Seahawks offense really hasn't been able to get moving versus the 49ers. And when you couple the weather with the defense and their offensive struggles, it does make sense, but anytime there's 90% on one side, it does cause you to kind of, I don't know, look the other way possibly, but I don't know that I could take this over. What do you think personally about this game?
For me, like the 49ers, their past two games against Raiders and Cardinals, both of those were low totals and both of those soared over. I mean, everyone remembers Jared Stidham, torching the 49ers defense, but David Blau last week, he got that, the flea flicker off to AJ Green, and the Cardinals offense was better than expected. And the 49ers offense, they just have so many pieces, and against the Seahawks defense that is really, kind of cratered, at least end of the season compared to the beginning of the season, I think the 49ers will get their fair share of points. But like you said, weather is such a key part, especially if there's wind. Rain, it doesn't necessarily impact the total as much, which is why it's only dropped half a point. But if there were to be, winds from the bomb cyclone, then that obviously would be the key weather factor there.
The bomb cyclone, when you think about like weather systems, it just sounds like a rager, like a party, like a bomb cyclone. I mean, I know it's not necessarily that, and I'm glad that we're not in California experiencing this. You and I both lived there for a time, but just the name bomb cyclone just always makes me giggle because it sounds like it's one of those things like, hey, you going to the bomb cyclone? No, sorry, I got to work tomorrow. Like it just sounds like it's like an all night rager, but that's neither here nor there. That's,
I'm more of a squall guy personally.
Hitting the squall heavy tonight. Okay, I love that. All right, moving on. Let's take a look at the boys and the Bucks. Dak Prescott has yet to defeat the GOAT in their last two games since Brady became a Buccaneer. Can the Cowboys pull it off after a less than stellar performance in their last couple of games? Max, what are you seeing with this matchup?
It's actually so we open this Buccaneers +3. And typically earlier in the week when there's line movement, that's usually from sharper money. And sharps as well as the public have been on the Buccaneers. And now it's down to Cowboys favored 2.5. For the spread, it's actually been pretty good two-way action. Since we moved the line down to 2.5, we've been seeing more Cowboys money come in on the spread. It's about Cowboys 52% tickets, Buccaneers 55% handle on the spread. Predictably, money line, it's more lopsided with Buccaneers getting over 80% of the tickets, about 66% of the handle. Obviously, it's Tom Brady in the playoffs. He's never lost to the Cowboys. He's a home underdog. Cowboys have been struggling down the stretch. Dak Prescott seemingly throws a costly interception every game. I mean, they just looked awful against the Commanders. So not a big surprise that there's so much overwhelming support on the Bucks to win this game outright.
Yeah, I think especially when it comes to the postseason, people have learned their lesson not to bet against Tom Brady. I bet against him in the Super Bowl. I thought there was no way that Patrick Mahomes would go an entire game without throwing a touchdown. So it's like you got to put your faith in Tom Brady, even though Tom Brady really hasn't looked as good as we've seen, certainly not that offense. The only thing that worries me about this game is if that Cowboys offense gets clicking, if they start putting points on the board, it's going to be very hard for the Buccaneers to catch up at that point. So I think the Bucs are going to have to rely heavily on their defense to kind of stop this potential passing attack. But to your point, Dak Prescott has not looked good, and he's good for an interception every game. I'll be interested to see what that interception line is. I'm sure it's going to be heavily juiced considering he's thrown
Oh,
so many.
for sure. And there's definitely questions about the Bucks coaching staff as well, particularly their offensive play calling. I mean, for me, if I were to make a play for this game, I would tease the Bucks. I would do a two-team 6-point tease. I think getting the Bucks at 8.5, just so that way you cross over those key numbers of 3 and 7. And then I would look to another team like the Giants. They're currently +3 right now against the Vikings, and then going up to +9. I mean, this is a Minnesota team that, besides facing Nathan Peterman last weekend, hadn't beaten anyone by more than one score. And I think that those two teams keep it close. So that's how I personally would attack this game.
I love that, and I'm going to tail you on that teaser. I'm already on the Giants to cover, and I think I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on the money line too, because I just think that the Vikings are frauds with their negative point differential and having 12 plus wins and being the only team in the history of the NFL to have negative point differential. So, and the Giants are frisky, and Dable's a dog, and it took the Vikings that game-winning field goal, 61-yard field goal, as time was running out to beat the Giants in the first one. So I love teasing that number up, and certainly with this game as well. Of all of the games this weekend, what's your best bet? What are you definitely putting your money on? Is it this teaser or you got something else?
I love this teaser personally. Man, if I have to go, I mean, this weekend's kind of tough just because we've seen with the Bills and the Bengals. I mean, those lines have obviously, skyrocketed with the
Skyrocketed.
quarterback news. Chargers, Jaguars, That one's a tough one to read. I mean, you can definitely put the Jaguars in a teaser too, instead of the Giants or the Bucks, whatever you feel most comfortable with. I think that that's also a one possession game. Man, if I had to, I would pro I can't even believe I'm saying that. I would probably go Chargers minus 2.5 if I had to choose.
Yeah, me too, especially because last week I thought Trevor Lawrence just looked a little bit skittish, a little bit scared in that big game. I mean, he has had an incredible season, certainly the second half of the season, but something looked a little bit off with him. So I wonder if he's going to have the kahunas, to win a playoff game against a Chargers team that's getting healthy at the right time. Herbert has been looking better and better. So I will be interested to watch that game. And to your point, too, and I think that's actually a really smart thing that you just said, especially with these games that have skyrocketed, the lines have skyrocketed because of all these third string quarterback situations. Not, of course, Brock Purdy. He's the best third string quarterback in the world. But when you see these lines inflating up, maybe doing a teaser if you want to bet that game is the way to go, because it's just so volatile right now when you look at the spread.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to be getting a ton of teaser, especially with the Bengals at 8.5, teasing it down to 2.5, where all they have to do is win by a field goal. That definitely seems like it's going to be a popular public teaser like this weekend.
Max, you are the best. Thank you so much for joining us on Moxie Bets. Let the people know where to find you. You have the best articles around.
Appreciate it. And yeah, you can read my articles at the Caesars Sportsbook blog website. You can find my work on my Twitter account at the Max Meyer. And also make sure to follow Caesars Sportsbook on Twitter at Caesars Sports.
Absolutely. Are you going to be at the Super Bowl by chance? Are you going?
I don't think so. I think I'll be home, just, looking for data and helping out on that front. But no, I mean, it'll definitely
All
be at
right. Well,
Glassner,
we're going to
Arizona.
be, yeah, we're going to be at the Caesars Sportsbook booth doing a podcast there. So maybe we can get you on to talk some Super Bowl stuff that weekend. That would be great. Max Meyer, thank you so much. We'll see you next time. With Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means whether you win or lose, you're always earning towards perks like free stays at iconic Caesars properties, game tickets, dining, and more. And if you haven't started yet, here's a reminder. Your first bet is on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it back as a free bet. Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No win to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK, 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time now for Capper's Corner. Let's welcome in Kenny Betts Big to the show. Kenny, you bet anything big today? How you doing?
Bet anything big today? No. College. It's funny. I jinxed myself. I was on here last week with you talking about how I was killing college basketball. Mm. And since that show, I've been getting my face kicked in college basketball. No, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that's the cycle of any better season. It's like you always go through that time of getting your butt kicked and then you end up better. You know what I mean? But there's always like a week or two, even sometimes, where you're just cold as ice. It just is what it is.
Yeah. Like, and the easiest way to, you know, for people listening, like everyone loses. Like, just because I do this professionally doesn't mean I never lose, right? Like, I wish that was the case. If it was, I'd be in Fiji. You wouldn't see me on here with Katie. But yeah, everyone loses. And the way I like to, you know, kind of break it down for people is most 98% of people lose at sports betting, right? But there's always that 1 or 2 week stretch where they win and they feel great about it. That's usually when I'm doing bad. You know, cause the square bets are cashing, the sharper bets are not cashing. So just kind of, you know, you got to just stay disciplined and ride it out. Like you said,
stay disciplined. And I don't know how disciplined we're going to be because it's super wild card weekend of football. It's very, very exciting. We've got a lot of games on the slate. Saturday, you got the 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, Seahawks versus Niners. You already know what time it is in the Moxie Bet studio. And then you got 8:15 ET Chargers versus the Jags. And on Sunday, you got Dolphins, Bills, Giants, Vikings, and the Ravens, Bengals. And of course, Monday night, the last Monday night of the season, Cowboys at the Bucks. So let's jump right in to Saturday's games. First up, 49ers versus the Seattle Seahawks, NFC West rivals. Niners, laying 10 right now. It's been going up anywhere from 9.5 to 10. They're -475 on the money line. Please don't bet that. Over under 42.5. That's ticked down a little bit. It was at 43. What are you liking from this game?
The trend of the show, this might be good for you and your Niners, but I like the Seahawks here. You're giving me 10 points in a divisional game going up against a rookie quarterback who I know Brock Purdy, you know, has been lights
He's
out.
In Canton. He already has a jersey in Canton. Okay. The guy's a Hall of Famer.
Which kind of makes me like the Seahawks a little more. There's just so much hype around this Niners team. They're coming in winning 10 straight, which sounds great, but historically that's not advantageous for a team, right? Over the last 20 years, there have been 15 teams who have played a playoff game on a 10-game winning streak. They are 7-8 straight up, but 2-13 against the spread. And then when you look at the trends with rookie quarterbacks and their playoff debut, it does not bode well for the 49ers. Listen, 10 points is a lot. I don't know if the Seahawks will pull off the upset. I'm not going to bet the money line here, but if you're going to give me 10 points in a division game where I know the Niners beat them pretty easily the second time they played in Seattle, but I think that game was a little bit closer than the score indicated, right? Like the Seahawks were going in, potentially tie the game or take the lead going into the half, a fumble kind of just changed the whole outcome of that game. So yeah, I like the Seahawks here getting 10.
Well, you know what I like to call you, the 49ers mush. So I am happy that you did this, Kenny, and thank you for that. And I will say, you know, you can find a trend, right, for everything. I found one, double-digit underdogs in the postseason. They're 1-10 straight up and only 3-8 against the spread in the postseason over the last 10 years. So that obviously bodes well for the 49ers. But everything that you just said kind of counteracts that. And I do think, it is hard to beat a team 3 games in a row, especially a divisional rival where the teams are built and stacked up to play each other and play each other well. So I would love the Niners to cover this 10, but I'm not even taking that. So I don't hate you for taking the Seahawks plus the 10 points here. They did cover that number, at least in their last matchup. I'm going to lean under on this one, the 42.5. You know, you got the bomb cyclone that's descended upon California, and weather, rain, you know, the wind, I guess, isn't that much of a factor, but there's going to be a lot of rain, 90% chance of rain during this game. And then you look at this Niners defense, who have been absolutely incredible. They were able to neutralize the Hawks offense in both of these games. I do think it's going to be more of a ground and pound kind of approach. I think that the Seattle Seahawks defense is going to come together and be a little bit better than they were in Seattle versus Brock Purdy. And I hear you about rookie quarterbacks, but I don't think that Brock Purdy is your typical rookie quarterback. I mean, this kid is an absolute stud. But I do lean on the under in this one, 42.5. Are you looking at any prop bets?
Yeah, I mean, he's a stud, but he's a rookie. And I just think he's been overachieving. So I'm going to go Brock Purdy to throw an interception. I took this the last time he played the Seahawks, and it should have cashed pretty easily. Diggs dropped a cookie right in his hands. Yep. So I just playoff atmosphere. I think the stakes, obviously, everyone knows they go up a little bit. A lot of pressure on this young kid stepping in, Mr. Irrelevant. So yeah, I think he'll make a mistake. Like I said, I do think the Niners will ultimately win the game, but I do think it's going to be a close one. And like you said, it's going to be a tight defensive battle. So yeah, I think he'll throw a pick here.
All right. I could take that. I could take him throwing a pick. But I will say, you know, we keep thinking that Brock Purdy is overachieving. We thought about it the first game when he completely outdueled Tua, who at that point was one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league. I thought, okay, he came in. We'll see how he does against Tom Brady in this Buccaneers defense. Oh, now he's the goat slayer because he went in there and absolutely slayed against the Buccaneers and made a fool out of Tom Brady in front of 100 of his close friends and family that he had at that game. And then we're like, all right, well, that's still at home. Let's see how he does in Seattle. One of the hardest places to play. How do you do in Seattle? He killed it in Seattle. So I don't know. This kid at this point, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on this kid. He just keeps surpassing everything. So I think he's going to come out and have a banner game, which is why I like him over 1.5 passing touchdowns. He's at minus 115. He's had at least 2 passing touchdowns in each of his 5 NFL starts, including in Seattle. He's the only quarterback since 1950 with a win and multiple passing touchdowns in each of his first 5 starts. That was Kurt Warner before that. I think it's going to be a ground and pound. I think they're going to run the ball a lot, specifically in this weather, but some short, quick passes in the red zone are upon us. And I think we're going to see a big game from George Kittle, which we have been seeing. So I'll give you my second bet, and then I'll go to yours. George Kittle over 3.5 receptions. Why is it at 3.5? Why are the books still putting this at 3.5? The corn connection, which is what I'm calling it now, between Purdy and George Kittle. I know they went to different Iowa schools, but they were clearly eating the same corn, and it has been paying off. He's had at least 2 touchdowns in 3 of his last 4 games, and he hasn't had under 4 receptions since Brock Purdy came to be the quarterback. So I also like him for an anytime touchdown. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Kittle, it's funny because we kind of talked about it, you know, probably 6-7 weeks ago, how this Niners team, when Kittle's like the focal point and he's really involved, that's when they seem like they're at their best. And Kittle and Purdy have the best connection, right? Like, I think Kittle's been looked the best with Purdy under center.
I agree. And you know what? You and I teeter with doing George Kittle with 2+ touchdowns, plus his yards or his receptions. We actually have to lock in that this week because we have missed out on it. It is cashed every single time we talk about it and then we don't take it. We have to take a Kittle for 2 touchdowns with maybe his receptions or his yards. We have to.
Yeah. And, you know, the Seahawks, they struggle defending the tight end. So, you know, it just should be a wide open field for George Kittle, like we saw, you know, a couple weeks ago when they played in Seattle. And I had to watch George Kittle score 2 touchdowns and me say, God, why did I not bet that again? I want to ask you something, though, as a Niners fan. If Brock Purdy comes into this game and falls flat on his face, right? 2 picks, the Niners lose, and things don't go their way. Does everything he did, is that kind of out the window, or are you still very high on Brock Purdy going forward?
I just think you said an impossible situation that's not happening. I mean, there's nothing inside of me that thinks that the Seahawks can come out and win this game. And by the way, if the Seahawks do come out and win this game, that is a defensive failure by the 49ers and not necessarily a Brock Purdy situation. And also, you got Brock Purdy. All we need him to be is serviceable. Now, he's been more than serviceable, but you look at Christian McCaffrey, you look at Deebo Samuel, Ayuk, Juszczyk, Kittle, all of those players. If all of those players somehow lay an egg, that's a team failure. I wouldn't put it on Brock Purdy.
Okay. I can respect that. What are you most afraid of as a 49ers fan? Because coming into this, the Niners look like the team to beat, right? Like they look unbelievable.
What am I most afraid of as a 49ers fan in this game or in the playoff run?
No, just in general. Like who do you, like what team in the NFC do you think will give you the biggest problem going forward?
The Eagles. I think it's going to be Niners and Eagles in the NFC Championship game. And that is going to be a battle because that is a very talented football team on both sides of the ball. And I think that's going to be our biggest challenge. I think we can neutralize Dallas, you know, if Dallas squeaks through, considering, you know, what the Commanders were just able to do to them, holding them to just 6 points. I think that the Bucs might win this next game, but we're not. You know, I know you love Tom Brady and I love the Buccaneers. They're not getting much farther than that. So I think the biggest challenge is going to be the Eagles.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And the Eagles-Niners game would be pretty fun to see.
Oh, my God. In Philadelphia, too. That's just going to be absolutely wild. What, do you have any other props you're looking at for this game?
No, just the two bets there for me. You know, as it gets closer, maybe see how the lines move. You know, maybe I will probably jump on that George Kittle with you just because we've missed it a few times, like you said. And it does seem like free money because, like he's been – him and Purdy, the connection is there. So
he's had 2 touchdowns in 3 of his last 4 games. Like, that's just – that's wild. That's wild. So we have to take it. Anyways, moving on to Saturday night's rematch between the Chargers and the Jags. The Jags ended their season on a high note, finished with a winning record, and, of course, winning the AFC South after a pretty rocky start. Jacksonville crushed the Chargers in the regular season 38-10. Could this be a revenge game for Justin Herbert? What are you liking in this game? Chargers minus 130 on the money line. It was a pick 'em. And now it's gone to Chargers minus 2.5. This over under 47.5. What do you think?
So I lean Jaguars here. And the line's back up to 2.5. It opened at 2.5 and it dropped down real quick to 1, but now it's back to 2.5. I'm probably gonna wait to actually bet this because if Mike Williams is announced he's going to play, you might be able to get the Jags plus 3. Ultimately, I do think this game will come down to a field goal either way. And you mentioned that revenge spot for the Chargers who got throttled by this Jaguars team 38-10 earlier this year. A lot of people get caught up thinking like, oh, the Chargers are going to be very motivated. This is a big revenge spot. I think it was last season or the year prior, Action Network actually put out an article showing how historically teams who meet in the regular season and then meet again, like they play a game in the regular season and they play again in the playoffs, like this game here. The team who won the first game typically wins the second game like 72% of the time, which is a staggering number.
That is a staggering number. And I'm still leaning Chargers. I'm still leaning Chargers on this one. I'm not exactly locking. I wish I would have got it at Pick'em. But I didn't hop on it fast enough. And I'm still kind of waiting right now. This might be one that you throw in a teaser, a 6-point teaser as well with another game, possibly the 49ers and or, you know, something like that. But I just think that Trevor Lawrence looked a little shaky in week 18. It was a big game for him. They had to win that game in order to get into the playoffs and to win the AFC South. And I don't know. He just looked a little nervous. He wasn't as decisive and as good as we've seen him in the second half of this season. On the other side, Justin Herbert, the kid's a stud. And I guess I've been high on Justin Herbert all season long. It has not paid off for me very well, especially with our early season predictions. But they were able to still squeak into the playoffs here. And they are getting healthy at the wrong time. Like you said, Mike Williams, we'll have to see what happens there. Joey Bosa, he came back from injury and then ended up, you know, he's got a tight groin or something like that. But he's expected to play. I just think that this defense is going to be... it's going to be better. And I believe in Justin Herbert and his ability to air this out. So I'm going to lean on Chargers minus 2.5. Or is there any props that you like for this one?
Yeah, so I've cashed on this one a few times this season. I'm going to go Justin Herbert under 7.5 rushing yards. This is actually cashed in 10 games this year. So, you know, that's if you bet it every game, you're winning money. Yeah, it's plus 100 on Caesar Sportsbook. I just think since he's, you know, he's been pretty banged up all year, but he's toughed it out and he's played through it. But I think since he's injured those ribs, he's kind of a little more hesitant to run and kind of escape out of the pocket. So, I think we'll see him kind of just play more conservative, slinging it around. And, I know that kind of plays into one of your bets you like.
Yeah. And honestly, I love that one. And I'm mad that I didn't take that and think of that. So I might tail that, with you. I'm taking Trevor Lawrence actually over his rushing yards. That's at 14.5 minus 115. So he hasn't come close to this number in the last 2 games. In fact, in the last game, he was negative in this. However, when he's been up against tough defenses, he tends to scramble a bit more with the Jets, Dallas, Detroit, all over 20 rush yards. Again, I don't think that the Jags are going to win this game. So I don't think there's going to be any kneel downs. I could see him getting a little bit spooked and trying to use his legs a little bit more more like he's done with these very stout defenses. So I'm going to take him over that 14.5. But I love Herbert under his as well, because like you said, since he injured those ribs, he has not been as daring with his legs. He likes to stay in the pocket and protect his ribs, which of course makes a lot of sense. But what I do like from Justin Herbert, I like him over 37.5 pass attempts. He's just been airing it out. And I definitely think that he's going to continue to do that. I was looking at his yards. They were pretty high. The Jags defense has been pretty stout, but I definitely think he's going to be trying and he's going to be slinging this ball. So I like him over his 37.5.
I like that one a lot, especially when you look at the pace of play of both of these teams. Like the Jaguars, I think they give up the fourth most plays to opponents. So the Chargers should have a lot of plays to run. And, you know, it's kind of a situation. Like if you're the Chargers head coach and you have Justin Herbert out there and this type of game with this much on the line, are you going to just turn around and have him hand the ball off? Or are you going to let your best player go out there and make plays? So, I think that I like that one a lot.
Great. Anything else you're looking for this game?
Yeah, it's there's no line yet. I'm assuming the books are waiting to see what's going on with Mike Williams to set some of these props for the Chargers receivers and tight ends. But I like Everett over reception yards. The Jaguars are dead last in defensive DVOA versus opposing tight ends.
I love this too. And I was actually looking for that prop as well, but they don't have him listed on Caesars, which hopefully they have that more gay tie. But I love this prop bet too. So I'm definitely tailing that one with you. Yeah, Everett has been, he's going to have a monster game. All right, moving on. Dolphins at Bills. Now, this line is crazy, right? It's absolutely skyrocketed with the news of Tua officially being out for this game. Bridgewater also is questionable. He's limited in practice, which means we could get their third string quarterback. Bills minus 13. It's just huge, double digit, over under 43.5. Bills on the money line, minus 750. You know, there's some squares out there that will be betting that, but please don't. What do you think?
Yeah, this is a tough one, especially when you consider all things, right? The DeMar Hamlin situation just kind of seems like this is setting up for just an absolute beatdown of the Miami Dolphins. So I'm going to go the Buffalo Bills win all four quarters. For those listening, if you don't know what that means, just means they have to score the most points in every single quarter. I wouldn't be shocked if this is like a 40 something to like seven type of game.
Yep.
We saw what the Dolphins have done when Tua is not in there. The offense is very, very bad. They struggle to move the ball, even with all those weapons around these quarterbacks. So yeah, I just think this is going to be a beatdown, kind of like the games we saw the Bills and Dolphins play last year when the Bills would just throttle them every time they would see them.
I love this, and I was looking at that as well because it's at plus 650, right? It's like a huge plus money play there. And it's like, who's going to tell us no? Who's going to tell us no that the Dolphins are actually going to win one of these quarters? But I'm going to lean on this over 43.5, and you kind of alluded to it too. You think that the Bills could possibly get 40 all on their own, and then we see at least one touchdown from the Dolphins. And even though there's all these questions at quarterback, we still have to remember that both of these teams ranked top 11 in the NFL in points per game, also top 10 in total yards per game during the regular season. Miami still has offensive weapons, okay? They still have a lot of weapons at their disposal. They are good for at least one touchdown, and the Bills could just possibly get 40 on their own. Buffalo's 4-1 to the over in its last five home games and postseason matchups, also 4-1. And Miami has actually hit the over in six of their last seven games on the road. I don't know that we get another 61-point game like we had just less than a month ago, but 43.5 feels too low for me. When you look at the offense of Miami, sans the quarterback, and then you look at Buffalo, and Buffalo right now just, I mean, I have a futures ticket on them to win the Super Bowl now. I hope the 49ers get there and maybe I lose that ticket, but I'm still high on Buffalo in the AFC. And I'm actually going to kind of piggyback on what you said earlier with Buffalo to win each quarter. I like them to get a touchdown, the first scoring play of the game. That's at minus 109. Nyheim Hines on a punt return last week for a touchdown. He had two of those. Miami ranks in the middle of the pack on opposing kick return yards. I don't know. There's something divine happening. You know, I feel like God is on their side and certainly on Nyheim Hines' side. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a punt return for a touchdown as the first scoring play of the game, or Josh Allen methodically just moves down the field and gets a touchdown. But I like Buffalo for a TD for a scoring play.
Yeah. What, I don't know if you saw the, when Hines took that kickoff back for the score, it had been 3 years and 3 months since Buffalo had taken a kickoff back for a touchdown. How crazy would it be if he does a third kickoff return for a touchdown in two games, right?
Oh, yes, yes. Nuts. Even more reason to take this. And I wonder if you can actually bet the first scoring play to be a kick return. I don't know. We'll have to see. But yeah, no, I love that. I love that. What else do you like in this game?
One thing I don't know what it is because I wasn't really, you know, looking into it. But after hearing you kind of go through that and just thinking about the Dolphins, how they're going to play this game, the Bills defense or special teams touchdown might not be a bad play either. Maybe like parlay that with the Bills money line.
Hell yeah.
So I'm looking at Dawson Knox over 31.5 receiving yards. You can find that on Caesar Sportsbook. Dolphins, like I said, I don't see them doing much this game. Dawson Knox went for 6 catches, 98 yards and a touchdown the last time they played. I think we'll see a lot more of that. And he's one of Josh Allen's favorite targets in the red zone when things get tighter down there. So I think he'll see his healthy share of targets and 31.5 yards. I think he'll hit that pretty easy.
Foxy Noxy. I love that. And I hope that hits, and I hope it hits while Josh Allen goes over 255.5 passing yards. It's a little juicy. It's at -145. Josh Allen 8-2 in his career versus the Dolphins, 5-0 at home. He averages about 268.4 pass yards per game in his career versus the Dolphins. He's hit this mark in 5 of his last 6 playoff games in his career. He's also hit this mark in 5 of 8 home games this year. Miami is 25th overall in passed DVOA and ranked the 3rd worst in the NFL on the road at opposing pass yards per game, given up 253.9. Josh Allen's going to be, he's just going to be crazy in this game.
Yeah. Josh Allen, as a Patriots fan, I try to hate the guy, but it's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to not like that guy. I just watched the Sunday conversation that he did with Caleb and Barstool. And he's just a likable guy.
You know why? It's because he's from Northern California and he grew up a 49ers fan, but I will digress on that one. But, you know, most of us who grew up that way are just salt of the earth people that everybody likes, including myself.
Really set you up for that one, huh?
You did. The G-Men versus the Vikings. So the two teams just faced off on Christmas Eve, with the Vikings winning by a field goal, a 61-yard field goal at the buzzer to win the game. Giants money line +140, Vikings -165. Spread is 3, over under 48. This one's interesting because the Vikings have a much better record than the Giants do, yet books are kind of disrespecting them a little bit and just giving them basically home field advantage. If this were a neutral site, it might be a pick 'em. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. The line's only at 3. But I see the Giants feel like that trendy kind of public underdog where it seems like a lot of people are behind them. We've been hearing for the last few weeks, are the Vikings fraudulent, right? Like their win differential is not – the point differential is not very good. They've won a lot of one-possession games, which we all know in the NFL is not sustainable over a long period of time. But give me the Vikings here. I talked about it before, how teams, when they rematch in the playoffs, the team who won prior has a very big advantage in that second game. And I just feel like this kind of feels like a game where the Vikings kind of go crazy. They explode. People get high on them again. And then when they play a better team in that next round, they're going to get throttled and they'll be exposed. I just think 3 is too many. And I like the Vikings here in this spot. They just have more pieces, more weapons. And as even though Kirk Cousins is not the most trustworthy quarterback, I would rather put my money on him than Daniel Jones.
Well, I'm a sucker for narrative. Okay, so give me the Giants +3, and I might even sprinkle a little bit on the Giants money line +140. I've been saying on this show that the Vikings are frauds for weeks now. So, of course, I have to put my money where my mouth is. You talked about how the Vikings have all of those single possession games. Well, guess what? So do the Giants. Their team, they're number one and number two with single score game wins this season. But who's a little bit more fraudulent? Well, it's the Vikings. They have 12-plus wins and a negative point differential. That's the first time in league history that that's happened. The Giants rested their starters last week, so we should see a very healthy Daniel Jones and a very healthy Saquon Barkley, which that's usually the game plan. Give the ball to Barkley. And I do think that this the G-Men defense can do a pretty good job. And I know it's like Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins. I know it's not a Monday night, but this is a big game. And so putting your trust in Kirk Cousins is a little bit wild to me. It should be a close, close game. It could get out of hand, but you know, I want to be on the G-men side. So give me the G-men plus +3 and maybe a little sprinkle on the money line plus +140. Anything else you like?
Yeah, I found a, I found an interesting stat about that. How, so the Giants just are on a one game losing streak coming into this. Teams that lose their final game coming into the wild card round on a one game losing streak historically do very bad. And on the vice versa
side,
they
rested all of their starters. You know what I mean? Like they weren't playing their big guns. So it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah. But I don't think they factored any of that information in. Like there wasn't like, you know,
yeah.
They didn't have it where teams didn't play their starters or did. So yeah, I mean, maybe if they rested their starters, maybe that's those stats are very different in the next round.
Yeah.
But I just think when how often have we seen it where even good teams, they'll rest their players because they have something locked up and then they'll kind of get into that lull, right? Where you just kind of get caught slipping that next round. So I think the Vikings are poised for a big game here at home with all their offensive pieces.
It's always the catch 22, right? It's rest versus rust. And you don't know what I feel like in hockey, sometimes rest is a bad thing. Not always with football, but you see it a lot with these number one seeds when they take that week off and then they come in and they end up being a little bit rusty. So I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Do you like any prop bets?
Yes, I actually like two. So I'll give you the first one. I'm going to go Dalvin Cook over 70.5 rushing yards. That's on Caesars Sportsbook. Giants dead last in the NFL in rush DVOA. Cook, he had a decent game last time. He averaged around 5 yards a carry, but he didn't get a ton of carries because Kirk Cousins was absolutely cooking in that game. But I think this will be a game where the Vikings will kind of lean on Dalvin Cook here. And I think he'll be in line for a big game here. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes over 100 in this spot.
I love it, and I'm going to stay on the same train but go to the other side. I'm taking Barkley over 71.5 rush yards. It's at minus -115. The books don't know what to set Saquon Barkley rushing props at because the limit does not exist. He's actually gone over this mark in 23 times in his career. Now, that is accounting in whole seasons missed due to injury, so, of course, that would be a lot more. 10 of those 23 have been in 2022 that he's gone over this mark. He also rushed for 84 against Minnie on Christmas Eve. The game plan is pretty simple for the Giants. Give the ball to Saquon Barkley and let him do his thing. So I think it's going to be a big rush game for both of them. Let's go over 71.5 for Barkley as well. What else are you looking at?
TJ Hockenson. I mean, since the guy came to the Vikings, he can do no wrong. And I don't know what the books are thinking here, but they have his receptions line set at 4.5 and it's minus -109. It was even money earlier, but it's juiced up a little now. The last time they played, he had 13 catches, 109 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The Giants are 31st in the NFL in DVOA versus opposing tight ends. And since he's been traded to the Vikings, he's gone over this number 7 out of 10 games. Two out of the three that he hasn't, he missed it by a catch. So he's been right there almost every single game that he's been with the Vikings.
I love it. We talk about these single possession games or single score games. Well, what does that normally come down to? The kicker. It normally comes down to the kicker. So I've taken Greg Joseph over 7.5 total kicking points. It's at minus -101. And we know that he won the game for them last time with that 61 yarder. He's had at least 2 field goal attempts in his last 3 games. And he's made at least 2 of those between the uprights in 2 of those 3 games, including going 100% on field goal attempts versus the Giants. Again, we think it's going to be a close game. It's also Kirk Cousins on a big stage. I think they're going to be kicking a lot of field goals here. The Giants defense is stout. So give me Greg Joseph over 7.5 total kicking points.
No love for Captain Kirk. Next,
How you have love for Captain Kirk. I truly don't. When you look at him under bright lights on big stage, and again, he's lucky. He is lucky that this is not the Monday night game. Because let me tell you this: if this was the Monday night game, let's go ahead and swap out the Bucks and the Cowboys with this Vikings and Giants game, and let's put this on Monday night. You still like Kirk Cousins? Hard to say.
Kirk Cousins like Andy Dalton. You don't touch them on primetime spots. I would maybe stay off of that game, but And again, it's crazy because does that really matter? Who knows? I don't know. But it, the numbers don't lie. Like in primetime spots, Kirk Cousins is bad. So, but luckily we're not. It's a 1 p.m. start for this game, right?
Yeah, it's a Sunday 1 p.m., which is where he thrives. So I will go ahead and give you that one. Anything else for this game?
No, just those three bets for this game. Primarily the Vikings -3. Like if let's say the Giants go up early 3-0, 7-0, and you're watching this game and you can get the Vikings at a pick 'em, I would jump all over that.
All right. Finally, let's talk Sunday night. The AFC North rematch between the Ravens and the Bengals. The Bengals avoided the dreaded coin toss and will be playing on their home turf. Both starter Lamar Jackson and backup Tyler Huntley are still uncertain of starting. I mean, it's pretty clear that Lamar Jackson is not going to, he's been do not practice. Tyler Huntley has been kind of limited, which means, again, we have another third stringer here. Bengals -7, laying a touchdown at home, which is interesting to me with all of the quarterback uncertainty that this line has stayed 7, because this line indicates to me that either a Lamar or someone of that caliber will be playing. Because if you look at week 18, they were minus, that line closed at -11.5. Now we're just laying a touchdown here, over under 41.5. What are your thoughts on this game? Because this is a hard one to handicap.
Yeah, this is a few of these games are pretty hard to bet, right? With these big spreads, there's a lot of uncertainty around the quarterback position, which is kind of fitting for the year, the whole season. We've seen how many backups have come in and play this year.
The backup.
But one, Lamar Jackson, I don't know what's going on with that guy. He just broke my heart this year. I really thought he was going to step in and play and lead them to a nice playoff run, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Something in my heart is telling me the Ravens win this game. But I'm not putting my money on the Ravens to win this game. Yeah.
Blew me away with that one. Yeah. Although you've blown me away with something before and that ended up cashing. So we'll go ahead and clip this as well. If that, you're going against Joe Burrow. Okay. Keep going.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to bet this game. Like I'm not putting my money on this because the sharp side looks like it's the Ravens here. You talked about how the line is a little fishy. They just played last week and the Bengals were almost a 12, 13 point favorite at some spots. And it looks like it's going to be the exact same quarterback for the Ravens, Anthony Brown, who I defended last week and he did not look very good in the NFL. So, the line is just fishy. And, you know, it's a playoff game. I think the Ravens defense, since they got Roquan Smith, they're one of the elite defenses in the NFL. And playoffs, division, these teams do not like each other. I think it's going to be a tough physical game, and I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think. I'll probably stay away depending on who the quarterback is. You know, if maybe Huntley plays and the line is 7, I'll probably take the Ravens.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think it's something that you kind of wait to see. For now, I'm leaning on the Ravens team total under the 15.5. This offense just struggles without Lamar Jackson. They hit the under this mark in the last three games. They've scored 16 and 17 in their previous matchups this year versus the Bengals. But there's just so much going. I actually lean under as well for this game. I mean, I like the Ravens under their team total. I don't know how well they're going to do. But you look at this Ravens defense, and they've been able to do very well against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. The Bengals averaging 22 points per game versus the Ravens this year versus last year when they were averaging 41 points per game in both of those games versus the Ravens. Burrow also 216 pass yards per game this year versus 470.5 last year. You look at Chase, he dropped down from 161 receiving yards last year to just 68. So this Bengals defense is really stout and they've done a very good job at holding the Bengals in. So I could see an under in this game. I also like the under for the team total and the Ravens, but like you said, might wait a little bit more to see what happens. But there is kind of one prop bet that I like, and that's Roquan Smith over 9.5 tackles and assists. It's a little bit juicy, -151. Because it's a lock, people, he's hit this number in 4 straight weeks with at least 9 total tackles and assists. He's had 12 solo tackles and 4 assists in week 18 versus the Bengals. I mean, he's an absolute beast. And the Ravens have the best red zone defense in the NFL during the span after they got Roquan Smith. He's got 15 red zone tackles since he came on the Ravens. So Roquan Smith all day.
Imagine how different this Ravens season would be had they had Roquan Smith in the beginning of the year. Maybe they wouldn't have blown some of those leads.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Yes. You're right. You're right. Do you like any props? Are you, I mean, I know you're kind of laying off this game, but is there any players we should kind of zero in on?
I like the one you just said. I like that a lot, especially if you're someone who pays attention to storylines. Jamar Chase, a couple of the Bengals players have actually come out this week and said Roquan Smith was playing pretty dirty in last week's game. So I think maybe we'll see him fired up, come out and lay some big hits down on these Bengals players talking trash.
Yeah. Keep my name out your mouth. That was my Will Smith impression, but I didn't do a very good job of it.
Yeah, a little psh, psh. I'm going to take another defender. I'm going to go Patrick Queen over 6.5 solo tackles and assists. He's another one of these Raven defenders who a lot of the attention goes to Roquan Smith, rightfully so. He's one of the best linebackers in the NFL. But Patrick Queen is very, very good as well. And he's one of those guys. He's very versatile. He's fast. He's quick. He can kind of play, you know, he can cover tight ends. So sometimes he can get a little kind of those easy tackles, you know, if a guy catches the ball over the flat, bring him down. So yeah, 6.5 assist, solo tackles and assists for Patrick Queen.
I love that. I also think T. Higgins for an anytime touchdown at +135. So he's had at least one touchdown in 4 straight games. He only had one reception last week, but you got to think he was going through some emotional stuff with all of the Damar Hamlin. Since he's definitely going to want to get him back on track, they need him to have another big postseason like he did last year that got them all the way to the Super Bowl. So I feel like that they're going to get T. Higgins involved more. They definitely want him to get more up to speed if they're going to move on through this postseason. So I like him for an anytime touchdown. So +135.
Yeah, I can get behind that. And unfortunate for T, you know, the way that went down, but not his fault. But yeah, you got to question where is his mental state. And you're right. If the Bengals want to make a deep run, they need that guy out there playing his best football. So I could see them kind of forcing him the ball a little bit here, trying to get him, you know, his confidence back. And one thing I want to say for the people listening, especially new bettors, one of the best ways that you can, you know, become more profitable as a sports bettor, even just a gambler of any type, is you don't have to bet every single game. So like if you're looking at this, like if you're looking at this playoff slate this weekend, you don't need to fire on every single game. I know it's fun and sometimes you want the action there, but if you're trying to make money, like me, like I'm looking at all of these games and I'm picking probably my 1-2 favorite bets and I'm just going to fire on those, because what ends up happening is you bet a little here, a little there, a little there. And the next thing you know, you're 1-2 or 2-4 and you're down money because of the juice. So this is a tough game, like I said. And if you want to bet it, obviously do it. But this is a tough one I'd probably stay away from.
And, you know, one of my favorite analysts is Todd Furman, who was a former bookmaker. And he had said once that the only edge that gamblers have or bettors have over the books is that we don't have to bet every single game. The books have to set line for every single game. So do your research, look at it. If you can't find an edge in some kind of discrepancy in a line, lay off of it, because that's all we have over the books is that we don't have to bet every game. So I totally agree with you on that one. And look, we're going through these games. We're kind of giving our best bets.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's a good transition into Mox Locks. This is what we actually are taking to the window, our two very best bets for the weekend. Now, we're still going to sprinkle some on some of the bets that we talked about. We don't necessarily lay all of them. My number one lock, Kenny, Kittle for an anytime touchdown at +180. I also like the Giants +3. I'm all narrative, baby. Give me the Giants +3. What are your two locks?
Can you guess one of them?
Can I guess one? Okay. Is it the Vikings -3?
No, it's the Bucks +3. Come on.
Oh, the Bucks +3. Yeah, Tom Brady over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Tom, you've let me down a lot this year. You really have.
You're loyal.
Yeah, Tom's
loyal.
Yeah, Tom's hurt my pockets a couple times this season, but there's ever a time he's going to get me right. It's this week versus the Cowboys, America's team, as some people like to call them. Listen. we all know this is the perfect spot for the Cowboys. Every year they flame out of the playoffs. So I think you're telling me Tom Brady or Dak Prescott, who am I putting my money on? Tom Brady. 3 points too many. I think they win outright.
I love that. And I love them as a home dog. And there's Tom Brady 7-0 in his career versus the Cowboys. The Cowboys looked awful last week. And Tom Brady's hurt a lot of people's pocketbooks and he's broken a lot of hearts this year, but he's broken more hearts on the opposite side of people betting against him in his entire career. So yeah, give me Tom Brady in that 2.5. I'll ride with you on that one. What else are you looking at?
I'm going to do a teaser. I'm going to go Jaguars. We're going to do two teams, 6-point teaser. So we're going to get the Jaguars plus 8.5. Like I said, I think that game comes down to a field goal either way. And then we're going to add in the Seahawks. So I'll have the Seahawks plus 16.
Oh, great. Yeah. Love that teaser all day long. I do think that I don't know that that game's going to get completely out of hand for the 49ers and Seahawks. So I love teasing them up and I love the Jags as well, because I think that's going to be within a touchdown. So great. Kenny and Katie Mox locks today. This has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Betts. Have a great super wild card weekend. Gamble responsibly and we'll see you on Monday.